the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy
God. Thank you, Lord. We don't need to be afraid. We just trust in Him. He's going to take care of you. He's going to encourage you. He's going to bless you. He's going to help you through the times that we live in. So be grateful and thankful to Him that He is ever with you. So we praise the Lord to have you here today. We're ready for another program, and hope you are too. And hope that you get blessed tonight, and that the Lord will minister to you encouragement and strengthen you spiritually, and mentally, emotionally, in every area of your life, that the Lord will just minister encouragement to you. So we're going to open up this evening with some news as we start tonight's program, as we usually do. And we're going to have prayer. And then we will get into a word for the hour. Amen. Cancel culture. It says now the Statue of Liberty is canceled. That's right. Washington Post writer claims same figure of the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of hypocrisy. So we've got to get rid of that now. Okay, right. Okay. Well, yeah, Washington Post, really? Who'd read that corrupt leftist prejudice paper anyway? But up to a million companies, I don't know exactly how many, but up from 1,500 to a million somewhere, and are hit in the biggest global ransomware attack on record. That's right. Russia Revil demands $70 million for the decryption key weeks after Biden told Putin to stop protecting the hackers. So, wow, still happening. Yeah, there's only one national anthem, people said, at fury over liberal PBS Capitol 4th of July concert after Vanessa Williams ends the show with the black national anthem. So she made a lot of people mad at PBS and Vanessa Williams for doing that, because really there's only one national anthem, not a black national anthem and a white national anthem or a red national anthem, no, just one. So that's the one they could have sang, and she didn't. So D.C. mayor and district of criminals, Mayor Muriel Bowser, have agreed to pay $220,000 as part of a legal settlement with a local Baptist church that sued the city over in-person worship and restrictions during the pandemic. And so they're going to pay up because they did them wrong. So they get ready to pay up, supposedly, we'll see. But more than 75% of likely U.S. voters support teaching traditional values of Western civilization, according to new Rasmussen report survey. That's right, over 75% don't want perversion on their children, forced on their children. They don't want them teaching them all kinds of garbage, critical race theory, and, I mean, all this stuff. They don't want it going on. They want it to hear real American history and not twisted history and all these other things that the left is trying to force into the school system that is anti-Christian, anti-nation, anti-God. So 75%, more than 75%, they found. So a pastor in India bludgeoned to death for his faith with a wooden beam. Wife says her husband is a martyr for his faith. So yes, Christian persecution is increasing in a lot of places, and even here in America, it's increasing, right? You know that. You've probably seen some of that, heard of some of that. President Trump strikes back, though. He sues social media companies, Twitter, Facebook, a number of them, and they are banning him and others, of course, much of America who tells and speaks the truth. They ban you if you tell the truth, but if you're telling lies, they don't care. Yeah, because they're telling lies and they're supporting telling lies, and so they don't care about that. But if you tell the truth about things like vaccines and other things going on, yeah, then they're going to ban you, take you off of there, defund you, whatever. Yeah. Canadian civil liberties group leader called for citizens to burn all churches down in Canada. Hey, they've been burning churches and vandalizing churches here lately quite a bit, and now this Canadian civil liberties group leader calls for citizens to burn all the churches down. I'll tell you, there's something seriously wrong in Canada, and we better guard against it to not allow it to come here by prayer and spiritual warfare and interceding for America and resisting that. But we sure don't want to become like that, and we sure don't want to become like China. China, on the cusp of eliminating cash and is persecuting Christians, but he's also on the cusp of eliminating cash. pulling the world toward total government surveillance. China is setting up the world for the mark of the beast. China has ordered citizens to, quote, hunt down all books with religion in them, while the state church, the quote, state church, sings pro-communist song in their church services, and they don't really preach about the things that really matter. They preach, a state-approved message. They have to submit it to the state, to the CCP. Right? So that's no church at all, is it? No. Just like a Mormon church is not really a church at all. It's a Mormon cult building where they meet to promote and propagate their cult teaching. But it's not a church in the term of the Bible, that we are the church, those who know Jesus, truly know the true Jesus. And there's those who go by Jesus, but they're not the real Jesus, right? But instead, they're, false Jesuses or counterfeit Jesuses propagated by the devil and his minions of darkness. Hobby Lobby faces atheist backlash from its 4th of July One Nation Under God ad, which some of you may have seen in papers. They put them in newspapers, paid a lot of money to put out these big ads of One Nation Under God, and that. Now, of course, they're getting hit with persecution for doing that by atheist groups and, probably others too, but that's the way it goes. You take a stand for righteousness. That's why a lot of people won't take a stand for righteousness, don't you think? Because of persecution, fear of persecution, fear of suffering, fear somebody won't like what they did, like what they said, like their stand. But hey, they didn't like what Jesus had to say either. And they didn't like what the apostles had to say. But, it didn't stop the apostles, did it? They kept on and kept on and kept on. That's right. And we can't stop either just because somebody doesn't like what we are or what we have to say. We glorify Jesus Christ and lift him up. Can't be intimidated by evil. We have to take a stand and continue to and until the very end. Amen? That's the number I'm in. I'm going to keep standing by the grace of God. Amen. How about you? I hope that's you too. Well, welcome to the program. Here we are again on the ninth day of July, second Friday of the month. This is a five Friday month, right? So, we got five Fridays to share with you programs. So we look forward to doing that. So we want to open up in prayer now as we start the program here. Are you ready to pray? Well, I hope so, because it's important that we talk to the Lord Jesus and the Father. So Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you and thank you for another opportunity to gather here together in this program. And those who listen, we all gather together and hear what you want to say. And thank you, God, Father, for speaking through me, using me for your glory to share the word with your people, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of doing that. Thank you for the anointing to do that. Thank you for the grace to do that. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit here to do that. And I appreciate it. I appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for all your goodness and grace toward us. Thank you for every listener to the program. Thank you for each one of them. I ask you to bless them. I ask you to encourage them, strengthen them, minister to them. Cause them to be strong, Father, and not to give up, not to quit, not to grow weary of well-doing, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for the power of the Spirit. We thank you for fresh oil from heaven. Thank you for grace to just abounding toward us. The favor of God abounding toward us. We thank you for the healing power of God upon us. And by your stripes we were healed. Thank you, Lord, that you bore, Lord God, that you bore our sicknesses and infirmities in your own body, Father. We thank you that you love us. In spite of our faults and failures, Father, you love us and you forgive us. And you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, Lord. We thank you for these good, wonderful grace giving thanks, Lord, that it, the benefits of the kingdom, Lord. You said, bless the Lord and forget not all your benefits. And Lord, we don't want to forget them. In fact, we want to glorify you for them and keep receiving them and living in them, partaking of the goodness of God, Father. And we do that tonight as we come together to hear your word and cast out the demons and do whatever you have us to do, Father. So, Lord, we praise you. We praise you for the saving of our loved ones, Lord, for those who are being tempted to wander or have already wandered. We pray for them to come back, Lord, to you. For those who have never known you, family members that have never been born again, we pray that they get born again. And we pray for their salvation. We bind the devils that have been bound. We rebuke those spirits off of them, off of their understanding and their minds. Lord, we rebuke confusion off of those that are in sexual sin and sexual deception and drugs and alcohol. Father, we rebuke that confusion off their minds, Father, that they would come to you, Lord, as you have open arms to receive them, Lord, out of your love and grace for them. And Lord, you also want to hear our prayers, Father. We thank you that you hear them. And as we cry out for loved ones that have gone away or never known you and wandered, and they're wandering ways, Lord, we thank you that you will guide them home to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we praise you for that. Worship you for it. Pray for a supply financially for each and every listener, Father, that their needs are abundantly met above what they could think or ask. Father, we thank you for provision for them in Jesus' name, and for every giver to the program, provide abundantly for them, Father. And thank you for just bringing back. You said if we cast our bread upon the water, we will receive it. After many days or a number of days, we will find it abundantly brought back to us. So Lord, we thank you, Lord, for providing abundantly for every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, we give you praise and honor for these things. And Lord, thank you for revelation knowledge tonight by the Spirit of God, that you would quicken your word to us, make it alive, and bring us revelation and understanding by the Spirit of God. Lord, you are our teacher. We are trusting you to do that to us, Lord. As we speak the word, you will teach us. You will speak to us. We praise you for that. Praise you for the long-term listeners who've been faithful for a long time, Father. Pray you bless them. Help them in their life, Father, day by day, and minister to them and strengthen them. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we cover the broadcast now with the blood of Jesus. Thank you for ministering in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right, folks, here we are. We're ready to go here. We're ready to take off in the message here. If you're ready to listen, I'm ready to share. We'll just let God move here. Get yourself ignited. Amen. Some of you are getting reignited. The important thing is you're ignited. Amen. So in these days, we got to locate yourself. Where are you at? Where are you at with Jesus? Have you located yourself lately? I mean, from time to time in life, every Christian needs to find out where he or she is at. So just where are you today? Where are you in your walk with Jesus? Where are you in these end times that we're living in? Do you know where you're at? Times are changing rapidly, and it's easy to get stuck in a way of living in your Christian walk that is a non-progressive, non-productive walk. And we don't want to go there, but nevertheless, Christians do that. They quit going from glory to glory and accepted all that life has dealt them instead of receiving from God, coming out of the darkness, coming out of the bondage. But they're just taking whatever the devil throws out in life. And where are you at today? Do you know where you're at? Do you know your walk today? Have you looked at it lately? Have you found out what's going on? Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13:5. Here we'll read the first verse. Here, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate or become reprobate? Do you remember when you accepted Jesus, received Jesus in your heart, or when you were younger In Christ, you were filled with anticipation, excitement, and you were just looking forward to your future in Christ Jesus. You thought you had you had it all by the tail, man, and you had a bright future ahead. But what about today? Maybe you're older in the faith now, and you found out that things don't always go your way, even though you ask God to bring it your way, but sometimes he doesn't do it your way, or even close to your way. And yeah, you tried to make it work that way and the way you wanted it to work, but you've been through a lot of junk and found perhaps your future was not as rosy as you might have thought it was going to be when you first became a Christian. And perhaps you or loved ones have had a hard time with health issues. You've prayed for healing, but maybe you're not better yet, or you've been hurt, or you found that church people of today are not all angels. They can be cruel, they can be unkind, they can be hurtful, and they can be abusive. Yeah, and they aren't all just loving you all over the place all the time and just doing anything, everything for you. And perhaps you've grown skeptical too. And of course, some perhaps have struggled with your demon problem. And some of you have lost your excitement for tomorrow. Maybe some of you are bored with Christianity, with your walk, and nothing seems to move you anymore. Yeah, some of you have lost that excitement for being a Christian. Even people who do not know Jesus are energized by their excitement about tomorrow, for the future, for money or for new relationship or something. They get excited about that, but they don't have the Lord to get excited about. But we have the most important thing in the universe to be excited about. What happened? You need to get reignited. You need to get ignited for the first time. Proverbs 29:18, it tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. Remember that scripture? And you may have lost your vision, your hope, your expectation. You may be discouraged because your goals and dreams have not been met. Yeah. And maybe you've run up debt thinking, man, if I just get more stuff, I'll fill my life with stuff and things that will satisfy you, only to find out, no, it doesn't satisfy you. If you haven't found that out yet, you certainly will, because those things of this world and gathering up stuff and things don't bring fulfillment. Only Jesus brings fulfillment. And you know, the things we enjoy around him, that's fulfillment too. And you used to trust the Lord for your provision and for your future, but now you look with fear and trepidation because your source has become the world for information instead of Jesus. Don't go to the world for information. Go to the Word for information. Remember, we got to have Word information, not world information. The world is an enmity with God. And so we don't want to put ourselves in something that's an enmity with God. Maybe you've spent too much time on the news, end time events, and all the bad things happening, and thus neglecting Jesus, the most important subject of your life, the most important subject of my life is Jesus. I don't want to ever neglect him. Maybe your study time is down too, and maybe, you know, that your fellowship with the Lord is going down to a minimum or non-existent at all. And your praise and worship and thanksgiving is almost non-existent, if existent at all. You haven't offered up the sacrifice of praise today. You haven't put the fruit of your lips out there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You haven't worshiped him today. And again, in your study time, down to nothing. You only open your Bible once in a while, maybe on Sundays in church or not. We don't even have a church and can't find a good church. I don't know. Maybe your church attendance has suffered and sporadic. You need to regain your hope and your vision, my brothers and sisters. And if you have hope and a vision, you're not going to perish in languishing and depression like some Christians are doing today. We don't need to be languishing. We don't need to be in depression. We need to be in, and remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Happy is the people who know the Lord. I mean, start remembering scriptures and quoting them to yourself, right? Life and death is in the power of the tongue, but the fruit of our lips, praise and worship. And, you know, like the surgeon has discovered that our words influence our lives. And so they went to people that were afraid before surgery and tried to calm them down and tell them there's nothing to be afraid of and get rid of those fears, because they went in the surgery in fear they had less chances of surviving the surgery, because the surgeons had found out that what the people saying with their mouth and speaking out is affects the whole body. If they're speaking negative, the body goes negative. If they're speaking doubts and fears and troubles, and it affects the body. They say how old they are all the time. Oh, I'm so old, I'm so old. Well, your body reacts. Oh, I start getting ready to die, right? Getting ready for the end. But, yeah, so we need to be wise about what we say with our mouth, right? Life and death is in the power of the tongue. Remember that. Hebrews 6:19, it says here, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that which within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. See, yeah. Have you lost your anchor, your hope today? Yeah, the spirit is willing, but without an anchor for the mind, your mind and your flesh will rule you, and they don't want to serve the Lord. You have to bring them into subjection to serving the Lord from your spirit. See, the flesh is naturally rebellious, and the mind will follow. That's right. If you don't bring that mind under subjection by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God working in you, then guess what? It will lead you in a way that is not best for you. But let me know, the Lord has the best way. There's no better way than the Lord's way. And today, much of the church is lazy, is prideful, is spiritually arrogant and proud. It's seeking self-exaltation instead of God-exaltation. This is not the condition of a humble, God-depending church, totally dependent on God. Church, that's not the condition that we're supposed to be in. Most people are filled up with self-pleasing, pleasing themselves, and because of that, they're going to become empty. They're going to become empty. Because if you serve self, you're going to always end up empty. Self cannot ever be satisfied. And it's not a good master. It's just let's go to Hosea here. Book of Hosea. Amen. Right after Daniel, you'll find the little book of Hosea. It's not totally little, as it has, what, about 12 chapters, doesn't it? 12 or 13 chapters. Yeah, let's see, exactly 14. Sorry about that, but he has the 14 chapters, so it's not a little book in the minor prophets. Okay, Hosea 10, let's read 12 and 13. Hosea 10, 12 and 13. Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. So what did he tell us? It's time to seek the Lord and not the carnal lies. Okay? It's time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Yeah. Because the church has believed the lies of the modern church movement, and we think it's all about us instead of Jesus, and we trust in our own ways instead of his way. And many Christians and Christian leaders today don't even know the difference between right and wrong any longer. That's right. That's what the sign of the time is. Many will call good evil and evil good. Right? And so many Christian leaders don't know the difference between right and wrong. What's wrong here? Many are guilty of lying, greed, adultery, lust, worldliness, and compromise. The true message, of the gospel is no longer popular with the people of America. So folks, it's time to seek the Lord again with all of our hearts, to regain vision and hope in Jesus. Then compromise will be out the way. We don't need to compromise. We need, too many are afraid to speak the truth to others. They're just afraid of what others are going to think. They give their excuses, such as, well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Again, folks, Jesus hurt people's feelings. He told it like it was, and he is, and he was, and he is holy boldness. I mean, he is the source of holy boldness. And when people compromise, it shows that their relationship with the Lord is lacking. Demons have been successful in backing them up. So they backed up off of their walk, and so they need to get ignited. They need to get reignited. They need to get lit up with the glory of God again. Amen. The majority of the church today lacks holiness. And he said, be ye holy as I am holy, the Lord said. And he has not changed that, okay? And holiness is of the Lord, but we have to make a choice in the matter that we're going to be holy. And we can't do it on our own. We got to do it by the power of the Spirit of God in us, folks. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. So isn't that the case today? Yeah, people are saying, everybody is going to go to heaven. I remember Hollywood tell you that. They got you thinking everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's saved. You know, and their way, their thoughts of heaven is certainly not our thoughts of heaven either, by the way. It's not the way we see it. Is it? No, it's not. And so we need to get accurate in our walking with Jesus. And we need to not line up with that kind of a mentality today that says, oh, everybody's going to heaven, everybody's saved. Right? That's not true. What did we just read? Right? Should there be to find it? I mean, listen, there's coming a time where you will have to make a choice. You're either for me or against me. And the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. And it says narrow is the road. Narrow is the path and the gate that leads to God. The wide is the road to destruction. And see, we're trying in the modern church today to widen the road that God said it can't be widened. We're trying to write the Bible over in our own view of things, our own interpretation of the scripture. And hey, that's not accurate. We can't do that. Okay? I mean, the modern church, they want to include everybody. Wrong. Everybody isn't going to be born again. Everybody isn't going to be saved. Already we're seeing the result of lukewarmness in the church come on our nation with more calamity, more difficulty, wars, and economic and political and physical woes and hardship. My, my. And remember, it's not God's fault. You know, it's never God's fault. He's already made a way for the whole world to be saved. He bore the sins of the world, but not everybody's receiving his salvation. So are they receiving something that's not him, a devil's counterfeit, so they're not going to make it. And the majority, the Bible says, isn't going to make it. So we got to remember, we're part of a minority. But the road to destruction is wide, and many are going on that road. Okay? So it's not God's fault. It's just people choosing choices. So people have compromised. People have turned away. They've backslidden. People that have known the Lord, they're compromising their walk. They're not going the straight and narrow. Folks, it's time to seek the Lord with all your heart. It's time to make God's kingdom your highest priority. It's time to die to that self-rule and allow his rule in your life. I mean, who rules your life? You or Jesus? It needs to be him, folks. 1 Corinthians, let's read something else here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll read verse 19 and 20, if you're looking them up with me. If not, I'll read them to you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. See, we're not our own. He paid a great price for you. And it's time to have your vision reignited. We have a great future in Jesus, folks, and we need to return to God's word daily, fellowship with him on a daily basis, praise and worship him always, pray and give thanks with a grateful heart. Do you have a grateful heart? Do you have an ungrateful heart? Well, it didn't go the way I want. I'm ungrateful. Yeah. Hey, come on. What are you doing? He's giving you every breath you take. Cast your cares and your worries on him. Quit carrying the load and let him carry it. Let God then lead you into his goals and his plans and his vision for your life. And you'll then find your hope and excitement for the future and be reignited. Listen, our future is Jesus. No matter what happens in the world, our future is still Jesus. And God's not forgotten you. And yeah, you've not always had it easy. None of us have. Okay? But God has fresh vision, fresh hope for you now. And you need to take a hold of it. He is the restorer of the weak. He's the restorer of your soul. He will minister his love and grace to you because he cares about you. Remember that. See, God is fresh for you. It's not fresh oil from heaven. Fresh vision. Come on. Take a hold of it today. Have you located yourself now? Are you ready to renew yourself, to seek the Lord with all your heart again? Are you ready to get filled up? Are you ready to just cry out for heaven to come down on you? Amen. With all of his grace and glory and goodness and mercy. Amen. Amen. To seek the Lord with all your heart. Time to be ignited, reignited. Where's that fire you once had? Fan the flame. And if you haven't had it, fan the flame that is there. And get out his word again. Read it and feast on it. And, oh, see the goodness of God in it towards you. Amen. You look at that word, you're going to find his goodness. You're going to find his grace. If you look at the new covenant and what he's done for you, the grace and goodness and truth. Hey, you know, we've watched people who don't take the word in regularly. We've watched them for 30-some years of pastoring. We've watched people compromise because they wouldn't take the word in and get spiritually weak. We've watched for all these years, hey, you know, ignore and neglect God's word, and you will get spiritually weakened. It's just a fact. You know, God sent the manna out every day for them. The manna was the type of God and his word, and, you know, they just had to gather it daily. They didn't gather enough for the whole week. If they did, it would rot. And the same as the word. And Jesus, we just can't just get up enough of him to last for 2-3 weeks and then not visit him again, not pray, not talk to him, not worship him again for 2-3 weeks, not read his word for 2-3 weeks, really? You'd be weakened. The enemy will start having his way with you. It's easy for demons. You're an easy prey for the demons to work in you and against you if you don't stay in a relationship, a daily relationship with Jesus. And it's not living and alive for you and something going on there. I mean, listen, it needs to be alive and living. And then what happens when you start going that route? Then you start going away from him like that and just thinking you could make it just fine if you just rarely read the word, rarely pray, rarely spend time in his presence. Then you start making wrong decisions. You miss God and his best in this kind of condition of spiritual weakness. Jesus said for us to be strong in him and the power of his might. We can't make it any other way, folks, today in the time we're living in these strange and perilous times that we're living in. We can't make it any other way. We need to go deeper with him. We need to go further with him. We need to go closer to him. We need to stay in his presence. The Bible says in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So I'm telling you, let me help you to get ignited more and reignited more. And find out your identity right now. Many Christians today are frustrated because they want to get to God. They want his presence. They want his miracles, his grace, his love, yet they don't seem to have it and seem to get very little of him. Why is that? Is God available to a Christian or not? Well, the dogs bark. Of course his grace is. Of course he is available to Christians. Of course his word is true. So what is the hindrance? Why does somebody feel so empty, so separated from him and his power and being lit up with him? What do you want to know? This will help you immensely. If you can receive this truth and revelation today, it's a problem of mistaken or false identity. That's right. That's right. Let me explain. Here's the picture. You live in a body. The flesh is there, the fleshly body. And you have a soul, which is a mind, a will, and emotion, and that the Adamic nature takes over at birth. But as a born-again Christian, that's not who you really are. That's not who you really are. That's what people see. That's what you think you are. But that's a false or a mistaken identity. And yet most Christians, they try to relate to and find God out of the false arena of their lives, this false arena. And are frustrated because Adam can't find God. The Adamic nature can't find God. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must have a new nature that can connect with God, right? That's right. So, knowing who you really are really helps a lot to find your true identity. See, God has to find God, and God has to reveal God. The flesh can't reveal God to you. The soul can't reveal God. It has to come spiritually because God is a spirit. Let's go read Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 15. Matthew 16, 15. All right, here we go. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered unto him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed. See, flesh and blood can't reveal God to you. You're trying to reach God in your fleshly part of you, and then it isn't going to happen, okay? It's not going to come through flesh. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. See? That's how spiritual things are revealed. You got to understand that. These people are looking for God with their soul, people with their soulish, which is the mind, will, and emotion. People are looking for God with their body, with the flesh, and they aren't going to find him that way. And they do that after they get born again. See, flesh and blood can't find God. God reveals himself. You see that? And God is what? God is, let me show you more here. The woman at the well. Where shall we worship? She said. She was a Samaritan woman. And she asked Jesus, she says, where shall we worship? This mountain? Some say, others say, only in Jerusalem? Most have never understood Jesus' answer. It's a spiritual answer, folks. We got to understand Jesus is talking spirit language. Because he is spirit. God is spirit, the Bible says. And Jesus was God, and he is God. Okay, so let's go over to John. And let's get this. Because a lot of times we miss God because God is speaking to us spiritual answers. He's speaking to us in the spirit, and we're trying to relate to what he's saying with the soul, and we will miss him. Because we're not hearing with our spirit, our eyes of our understanding and the ears of our understanding are not open to him properly. You hear what I'm saying? Hear what I'm saying? John 4. Let's read there. Verse 21. It says, here, Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. See, that's the location, folks. They're going to worship in the spirit and in the truth. That's the location where we really can really worship God. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So he's reiterating it twice here so that we can begin to get a revelation of what he's trying to say. If you want to worship him, if you want to embrace his love and his glory, it's not a matter of a physical location. It's not a matter of finding the perfect church or the right self-help book. It's a matter of finding the perfect you. Where's the perfect you, folks? You must worship him in spirit. Is your flesh perfect? No, very far from it. It's very messy and mean and ugly, and yeah, it can be anyway. Is your soul perfect? No, far from it. All kinds of hang-ups there. Demons attached to the mind, will, and emotions, and the flesh is attached there too as well. You must enter into his presence and glory from a place of perfection. You must listen from a place of perfection because God is a perfect God. And doesn't dwell in sin, but in holiness, for he is holy. And he said to be ye holy as I'm holy, as we said a while ago. So we've got all these Christians going around trying to make themselves holy by do's and don'ts. Is that how you get there? I remember one woman who would never cut her hair. That is, anywhere. She had hair oozing out from under her arms, all up and down her legs, and yeah, a bunch of long hair. I mean, that she thought that made her holy and acceptable to God. See, but bunch of hair sticking out from under, wherever. See, just a hairy woman. And she thought that would make her holy, never to cut her hair, because she got the scripture that women ought not, ought to have long hair. Okay. That what makes one holy, or do's and don'ts? No, it isn't. Still living out of the natural Adamic mind, folks. Hey, you're still living from a mistaken false identity, if that's what you think. You need to understand this, that now you are spirit, and that Jesus died and took away your sins, and the penalty of your sins, past, present, and future. That's right. He is not holding you accountable for your sins, because he knows that Adam is not your reality, folks. Jesus is your reality. Go to 1 John. 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9, it says, right here, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What seed? Jesus is the seed. I mean, the Holy Spirit, the seed of God remaineth where? What's born of God? Your flesh? No. Your flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. Your soul? No. Only your spirit is born of God, and God's seed is there in you. God is in you, and your spirit cannot sin. It just said that right here. Your spirit cannot sin. That part of you cannot sin because Jesus doesn't live with sin. Okay, as long as you're following Christ, as you choose him as your Lord and Savior, and don't reject the Holy Spirit's work in you, hey, that's right. He dwells there, and God is in you. And your spirit doesn't sin because it is born of God, and the seed of God dwells in there in holiness because he is holy and he don't dwell in sin. Do you see that? We are three parts, body, soul, and spirit, just like no demon can get in your spirit because Jesus doesn't live with demons. They're in your soul, but Jesus doesn't live in your soul. They're in your body, but Jesus doesn't live in your body. See, he set up his house in the Holy of Holies. Right, which the Old Testament temple represents the New Testament temple, which is not made with hands, but it's inside of us, right? The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, it's within you. So what do we see? We see body, soul, and spirit. The outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. This is the temple of the living God. We are that temple of the living God. So, hallelujah. You see that? Well, we have a place of fellowship and of communion with the Father, a place to live free from guilt, condemnation, all the lies, all unworthiness, all the spiritual darkness of this world that may still be attached in your soul, but it's not attached in your spirit anymore. But so many times the blindness comes from the soul realm, and we can't see what's really going on in our spirit. We're blinded by the demons in the soulish realm. And how many Christians really are connected with their spirit? So you must discover that you really have the seed of God, and the seed of God remains in you, and it will never leave you. And that's right. When the flesh sins, Jesus doesn't leave. Why? Because he doesn't dwell in the flesh. He's in Adam anymore. I mean, he dwells in your heart, the second Adam, in the reborn. I mean, you're regenerated. I mean, you're a brand new creation in your spirit. So he dwells in your spirit. You're holy of holies, his temple. Oh, yeah, you can grieve him. But he's not leaving you just because you grieve him. I mean, your kids ever grieve you? Somebody ever grieve you? Did you always cut off your relationship with your children when they grieve you? Of course, they could grieve you, but you didn't disown them over it. Nor does Jesus. He doesn't disown you every time you sin. You know, this is good stuff, folks. Good stuff. God stuff. And it will set you free. It will, so you can be ignited, you can be reignited, you can live in the place that God has for you. You know, listen, I'm free in God. I don't live a life of fear or condemnation or guilt. I easily come boldly before the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace whenever I need it. And that's what you should be doing too. See, my place with God is not based on what I do, but it's based on what he's done. See? And you need to know that about yourself, too. I mean, it's not based. Your place with God is not based on what you do. It's based on what he's done already, and he did it at the cross 2,000 years ago. He went into the darkness and made a public show over them, and he triumphed over them. And see, you know, what you need to know is God is not imputing sin anymore, but he's imputing righteousness. Today, that's what he imputes. Well, see, a lot of people think that God's just going around imputing sin onto them. Let's go to Romans 4 and find out the truth about this. See, we've got to read the Word. If you don't know the Word, you don't know the truth. Romans 4:4, it says here, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of death. See, so if you're trying to earn your way by your working in the flesh out of the old nature and out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you're trying to do it there. It's not grace, okay? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. See, your faith is counted for righteousness, not your works. And even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That's us. See, David saw the new covenant. He saw it, and he wasn't under it, okay? It hadn't come yet, but he saw it off in the future. He could see it. He could see it prophetically. He could see it. But see, to us, the blessedness of the person whom God imputed righteousness without works. So you see, it's not imputing sin anymore. He's imputing righteousness. You see that? God is not imputing sin to his children that are born again and have him in their heart. Okay? Oh, yeah. Well, you get that? I mean, that is so awesome in its reality. And you need to know that. God is not imputing sin, but he imputed righteousness today. That's what he's doing. The devil would like you to believe that he's imputing sin, and a lot of Christians believe that he's put sin off of. He's blaming you for your sin, and oh, man. Well, I don't have to make myself righteous because I am righteous, because I believe. What does it say in verse 3 about Abraham? Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That was before the law. And now we're after the law in Christ. See, we have God imputed righteousness without works. See, it's not about the works anymore. Oh, yeah, we'll do good work, but it'll be done from Christ, not out of the soulish realm, not out of the flesh. Going to be done from the Spirit out of in Christ. He does the work through us. Okay? Yeah, I don't have to try real hard to make myself holy. have short hair, long dresses, long frowns, or whatever. It's not a matter of the outward. Listen, this is how it works. Once you really know you are the righteousness of God in your position before God, once you really know that, he then begins to work his righteousness into your disposition, and his righteousness will flow out of your belly, because out of your belly, out of your innermost being, flows rivers of living water. The Bible says the life from God, from the tree of life, flows out of your belly. Being spirit, because you are spirit, see, and transforms our soul little by little. It goes to renew the mind little by little, and we are then become righteous in our nature, not just our doctrine. And yeah, it is a process, because yeah, the flesh and the soul and Adam still sin, but we need to consider him dead, right? They're going to sin sometime, but we consider them dead. We reckon them dead. We reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ, see? Because Christ is living in us, and we're alive to our spirit, because we're starting to learn to live from the spirit and starting to learn to listen to our spirit and listen to Jesus in our spirit. We're waking up. We're awakening. We're in the process of awakening more and more and more. But we must consider Adam dead and ourselves spirit alive to God day by day. See, day by day, as I continue to feast upon your presence in me, your word, Lord, as I continue to reach for you with all my spirit, you, Lord, continually, day by day, transform me from one degree of glory to another, as it says in the scripture, even as by the Spirit of God and your power is working in me, mightily in me, and heaven will manifest out of me to others in signs, wonders, glory, love, grace, miracle, deliverance, on and on. See, it's not a matter of my performance, but his performance, see. See, so many Christians are on that performance-based merry-go-round all their lives, never getting anywhere, never getting anywhere. They're just rolling around and around. They're rolling around and around and never getting anywhere, see? And they think they're really getting somewhere because they're doing all this performance, all these works, righteousness that they think is making them righteous, their work. But it doesn't, because it's only his work that made us righteous. It never could be our work that makes us righteous. So it's not a matter of my performance. But it is. It's not living for him, but living from him, right? You are spirit. God is spirit. He that is going to the Lord is one spirit. We are one with God right now. And I'll tell you what, religious people with religious spirit, they will, at this point, pick up rocks and stone you, you know, one way or another. They'll disfellowship you, escort you to the door. But, you know, I know that I know who I am. I know that, you know, I don't have that mistaken identity anymore, see? And you don't need to have it anymore either, see? You need to be ignited with God or reignited with him. See, I'm not Adam. I'm spirit. And I'm one with Jesus, right? Because he that joined the Lord is one spirit, right? So I have the ability to be in continual fellowship, see, in my true identity. I can be and continue fellowship with God, and nothing can separate me from God. The Bible says in Romans 8, remember, nothing can separate you from God, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate. See, most Christians live from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I tell you, they're trying to live from the good side. Like Satan said, oh, if you'll just do this, eat this fruit, do this good work here, eat this good fruit for you, you'll be like God. But you know what? The good work from that tree can never make us like God, because it wasn't the right tree in the first place. It had to be from the tree of life that we partook of, and we had to have a heart transformation. We were born again. It had to be the right tree. Eve should have told that old devil, that old serpent, hey, I'm eating from the tree of life. I'm already like God. But see, she bought the lie, see? She was already like God. She didn't need to eat that. She didn't need to believe those lies that the devil was sitting there telling her that she wasn't like God. He was insinuating she wasn't like God, and that she had to have this good fruit from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, so that she would be like God. But she was missing out. The devil told her a bunch of lies, and she bought into it. She bought the lie, and much of the church is still trying to gain what Adam had in the beginning by the wrong tree, and of course the good of the tree, of course, and good works, but it can't be done carnally. That's what we don't get. It can't be done carnally. It's already done spiritually, and we need to live from the spirit instead from the carnal, a natural mind, because the natural mind cannot connect you with God. cannot connect you with the things of God. Okay? Good works. Oh, yeah. Good works. It looks good. It smells good. It seems like it's God, but it can't be done that way. And if you'll just do this, if you'll just, like this kind of life, if you'll just live this kind of life, if you'll just quit smoking and you quit drinking and you quit cussing, but no, I'm not Adam. I am spirit, and therefore I have fellowship with God without my work. And yes, I do good work again. I do good work, but only what God does through me, see? Because what I do is of no count if I'm not doing it from God. If I'm not doing it from his power, it's of no count. It's of no value. Oh, it might look good to people out there because, oh, he's doing good things. Yeah, but what about God? He's the one that we please. And what pleases God? Well, faith certainly does, right? When we walk by faith, we believe his word. We believe what he said about us. We get the true identity that we have. We don't have that mistaken identity any longer. I am spirit with the life of God, the seed of God in me, transforming me, not by work, but by his grace and love and truth day by day. Amen, amen. So who are you? Who are you? Well, you begin to get to know yourself and who you really are spiritually, see? Spiritually. Spiritually is what you need to see. And see, you can see more of God's glory. When you start looking at it spiritually, you can see more of his power, more of his gifts, more signs, wonders, miracles, blessings from your true identity. See? When you live from a true identity, you go through life from your true identity, you function from your true identity, and you get rid of that mistaken identity, you get your life reignited or ignited for the first time. And see, when you really know who you are in Jesus, when you really know who you are in Jesus, you'll know who your enemy is too. Oh, yeah. Because anyone who hinders or blocks or causes you to move away from Jesus, he is your enemy, and demons are working. You need to recognize that. Anything that pulls you even a little bit away from him, it's the devil behind it. The devil behind it, folks. The devil behind it. Because when you know your true identity, you can certainly know the enemy's identity too, see. Because the Bible says that we're not ignorant of the enemy's devices. We know the enemy's ways. Because anyone who hinders or blocks or causes you to move away from Jesus, they are your enemies, and demons are working through that individual or through that situation or circumstance or whatever. Persons are persons, or even in your own mind where you have let them in to speak to you, to minister ungodliness into your life. See, it's very easy to embrace influences that are not Jesus, but some other spirit, right? Because even Paul said it very clearly in Galatians 1, how that another spirit was truly working there. Galatians 1, 6 and 7, it says here, I marvel. Paul was marveling that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So there's a lot of people today that believe in a perverted gospel. They're eating from the tree of the knowledge of good, and they're eating that good and thinking that's the gospel. They're thinking they've arrived, man. If I just do this, do that, do this, do that, I'm good, man. I'm good with God. I'm tight with God. Listen, I got it together. No, you don't. You don't have it together. You believe in another gospel. You go in a different direction. Paul said, I'm marveling at this. Marveling at what? I'm marveling that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto something else. They were going into law keeping and legalism and back under the old covenant law here in Galatians. And yeah, what are you doing? I mean, this happened to the early church. And it's happening today. And it caused Paul to marvel. He said, I marvel. It means amazement, to wonder at. And there are some who pervert the gospel right now. Yeah. Who are those some? Those that are controlled to some degree by devil. They're buying into the lies of devil. They're buying into the deceptions of devil, a demon. Yeah, there's some who are perverting the gospel today. And Paul would say, I'm amazed. Yeah. I'm marveling at these people. Yeah. I mean, you have to always guard yourself against those people and those who are knowingly or unknowingly being used by devil. And there's always somebody being used by devil. If you're observant, you can see that. If you have any discernment at all, you can see how people are being used by devils. Just the words that are coming out of their mouth could be nothing but words of devils trying to pervert the gospel or twist the gospel or to bring you under some type of bondage if you get in agreement with them. So you just have to say, well, I reject that. I don't get in agreement with them. I'm not in agreement with you, you know, whether you say it out loud or not, but you got to say it inside. You gotta say it out the side of your mouth. You gotta let it be known that you're not in agreement with that. You're not listening to those devils. You're not receiving those devils' thoughts as they come at you. You could even through a well-meaning relative, maybe, or a spouse, even. Yeah, they're perverting things. Be on guard, folks. Many people yield so easily to spirits and are their puppets. They're puppets on a string, the devil. And so become aware of this, the subtle operations of spirits who will use people to pervert the gospel of Christ. Christ, these spirits are always blabbing their garbage out of people's mouths to deceive and to pervert, and to cause you to walk away that's not the accurate way. They're of the religious spirit family, these demons are, and very convincing. For those who don't know the word well or have backed off of their regular time in the word and have not been ignited or reignited, and so they're not as keen and sharp as they could be, because, hey, the word of God will make you sharp spiritually. The word of God will develop discerning of spirit in you. The more you're in the word, the more you can develop things. The more you're in deliverance, the more you get discerning of spirit. See? So you can discern these things. Don't back off regular time in the Word. See, we live in a time where a believer cannot not be on guard. They cannot not be on guard. In other words, they have to be on guard. That's the kind of time we're living in, always, because demons come at us in many different shapes and forms and words and through many types of people as well, which would catch you off guard. But who are the devil's channels to get at you in one way or another? See, you got to realize the devil has a lot of channels out there. Yes, he does. A lot of people that call themselves Christians can be used as a conduit for demons, a channel for demons to speak and manipulate and twist scripture. And, hey, these were people that were perverting the gospel of Christ here in Galatians. That they were. Yes. And so there are people today doing the same thing. Amen. I tell you what, really, you should be more on guard than you are with people, folks. Really. Be more on guard than you have been with people, and watch your words, because sometimes they'll be speaking words that are not alive. They may not be total dead, but still they are not of the life, not of the word. They could have some death weaved in with them, some religion, some lies, some twisting, some perversion of truth. See, we don't want to partake of that, folks. We're just going to have to reject it. So we need to be on guard more than we are with people. And we need to really understand the spiritual warfare that's going on right now. I mean, there's a lot to understand about it. I don't think that we're taking it seriously enough to recognize the level of warfare that we're in, the level that people are under the influence of spirits today that we come across in day-to-day life, that these people that are under such influence that they're taken captive so easily by evil spirits. Their mouth is a tool of demons, very fluid. And it's in the words that flow out of there from the demons inside. They've mastered speaking through the person. And they're so subtle in the way they do it that you might not catch it if you don't pay attention. See, they recognize the word that you're in and the things that are being spewed out in so many different ways. I mean, that's just the way it is today. Okay? We need to understand the spiritual warfare that is going on day by day, and that's just the way it is. And if you're ignited in the Lord, spirits are going to try to unignite you any way that they can do it. Amen. That any way they can, that's what they're going to try to do. See? So, I mean, not amen, so be it to that, but amen, you got to be on guard about this and recognize this. And they will speak right out of people's mouths to do so, okay? Maybe even your beloved family members. Oh, you should be this way. Oh, you need to calm down. You need some advice here. You need to go to Dr. So-and-so. Oh, you shouldn't offend people so much. You need to be more loving. Listen, you just need to love the gay agenda. You just need to be more understanding. You just need to be more, you know, this, that, or the other, anything compromised, yeah, right? And it sounds spiritual. Oh, you just need to love the gay people. Just love what we do. We love them, but we're not going to approve of what they're doing. The Bible says it's an abomination. How can we approve of that? Can't approve of the sin, but we love the person and try to lead them out of that and take the truth in love to them. But, you know, we can't compromise just be accepting of everything. Just so accepting of every compromise, accepting of abortion, accepting of corruption and lies? No. Oh, they're good people too. Oh, we need to let them into your life. They're good people too. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to let the devil in their life? And bad companions ruin good character. Oh, yeah. Oh, or oh, you love this person who you're not married to? So it's okay because you love them. It's okay to let your guard down sexually. It's okay to get in bed with them because after all, you love them. After all, they care about you and they're meeting a need in your life. They're making you feel important. They're making you feel wanted. Oh, so go ahead. It's okay because they make you feel loved. They make you feel wanted. Yeah, okay. Devils know how to manipulate the senses, folks. Devils know how to work in the five senses. Devils know how to work around in your mind to manipulate your mind into a position of compromise, see, because you're not being ministered to spiritually. You've got to recognize that. You're being ministered to fleshly and selfly, okay? And that's what's happening there. And on the seduction works, you know. If it's not sexually, if it's financially, they work on you there, that greed area. Or it could be religiously, so many other areas like works and performance. All wrong, folks, all wrong. I mean, you got to get it. Paul said even later in Galatians, who has bewitched you to the Christians? Let's read it, Galatians 3:1. This is how deceptive it is. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. See? They got off. They got deceived. They got bewitched. Paul calls it bewitching. A bewitching. We live in a bewitching society, folks. Remember that ugly show, Bewitched? I mean, listen, that's about witchcraft. But we live in a bewitching society. Bewitching. Don't let the enemy bewitch you in any way. What is that word, bewitching? It's baskano in the Greek. Baskano. And baskano, however you pronounce it. And one meaning is to mislead by an evil eye. Also means to charm you. See? Also, to charm you, to fascinate you. How many are fascinated and charmed by sexual sin or by money lust, or by performance, trying to earn their way to God, and be bewitched? There's an evil eye going on from darkness. There's a major deception going on today, right? So much so that it puts them under the curse. It says in Galatians 3:10, for as many of you are of the works of the law, are under the curse. You've gone back under the curse. You got out from under the curse. Now you've gone under the curse. You're under the curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone who continues not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you cannot keep the law. So trying to go back under the law, you put yourself under a curse because you cannot keep everything that is the law is saying. But that no man is justified by the law is in the sight of God is the evidence, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. See, the laws of work, the laws of performance. And see, that's what the enemy wants to get you living. He wants to get you living in a performance-based Christianity type of life where you just got to earn your way to God. You got to make God. And before long, you will live a life of where you're just feeling bad about yourself most of the time, except when you're doing all these things, trying to keep this law, keep this work, be good from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, right? And Christ has redeemed us, verse 13, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The curse was taken for us by Christ. He bore the curse so that you don't have to bear the curse anymore. You use that in deliverance when the curses are on your life. You break the curse based on Jesus becoming a curse for you. That the blessing, verse 14, of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. See, the promise of the spiritual life, the promise of the Holy Spirit coming and making his abode in us so that we become spiritual beings, that we commune with God spiritually, that we have fellowship with God, that the veil is broken down to us spiritually, we enter in beyond the veil and have fellowship and communion in a place that no one under the old covenant, under the work of the law, could ever hope to ever gain by the outward works of man, by keeping the law, keeping the Ten Commandments. They could never gain it that way. We gained it by the work of Jesus, what he did on the cross. He did it and made it available to every one of you. It signified by the ripping of the veil from the top to the bottom. We go right on in. Through his body, through Christ Jesus, and go into the Holy of Holies, Holies, and feast on the Lord, and receive what we need there. It's not by works, so you got to understand, it's by faith, through grace. Amen? So we live in a bewitching society today. So don't let the enemy bewitch you, okay? Be on guard against that. Let us always keep a guard up. Don't be charmed by the devil. You know, he throws, you know, just like a fisherman throwing bait out there, little fish out there in the water to charm the fish to eat, bite their bait. Well, the devil charms you with the same to this world, charms you with lust, charms you with this, that, or the other, with some relationship, juicy relationship with somebody. He'll charm you that way. Hey, yeah, he did that. He does that. And we need to keep up a guard because the evil permeates the atmosphere. In so much of this world, folks, the atmosphere is swirling with devils. And thank God for the angels that make a way for us, see. They clear out some of the devils there for us, so we can have a blessed favor of God, fogged life, full of him, full of God. Yeah, the favor of God and full of God. Live in the fog. Amen. Amen. So, yeah. Let us continually seek the Lord and allow his angels, the precious angels of God, allow them to guard and watch over us. And they will do that. So you don't underestimate the work of the angels. No, we don't worship angels. We don't do that. We're warned against that. But angels are sent to work for us. They also work first and foremost for God, but they're also sent as ministering spirits for them that are the heirs of salvation, which is you and me. So send the angels before you, even in relationships. If you're going to go be with somebody, send the angels before you to go be in fellowship or whatever you plan to do. Send the angels before to prepare the way for you. In Jesus' name, Father, in Jesus' name, I send the angels before me to go before me. I have a dinner engagement tonight. I have to meet with these people. I just send the angels before me to prepare the way, to drive out those spirits that are in the way, get them out of the way so I can go and do what God has. And the spirit is free to move, and I'm protected from the evil one's influence who's been blabbing through people all night long and at me having to be deceived or hear some lie from the devil and have to discern it. You know, and yeah, we shouldn't put our guard down regardless because just sometimes, you know, we get attacked. Even if we sent the angel for it, we've got to be on guard, but we can do whatever we know to do. See, with sending the angel for it, prepare the way before us. Yeah. Amen. If we're traveling, send the angels in front and behind and beside the car and all around us. If you're flying with someone in the aircraft, you must travel that way, but the angels ever were. See? That's right. They're ministering spirits for you. And God has given us a measure of authority with the angels, over the angels. And of course, he's the final authority over angels, so we have to recognize his authority as first and foremost. But see, we do have authority because they're sent for us, ministering spirits for those who are the heirs of salvation. You and I are the heirs of salvation. You and I have the ability to walk in the blessing. And we have the ability to break demonic strongholds, folks. And we have to do it. It don't just happen. But somebody got to speak it out. Somebody got to declare it. Somebody got to put the angels to work. Somebody, and that's us, because we are the ones that have been given the authority. God is going to come down here and do it because he gave us the authority to put things into action and put things into place. And we can do that if we will take that authority and do it. I mean, you got to take it up. You got to take up the mantle of your God-given authority. You can't just lay back because you have to have your true identity going, not some mistaken identity. And living from that mistaken identity that's not going to do anything for you, folks. Not going to do it. Hey, it's not going to do it. We've got to learn to live in and from the Spirit, folks. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's where your true identity is. That's the true you. That's the life-giving part of your life where Jesus lives, where you're in touch with him, where you're in touch with the tree of life, where you're feeding on him, where you're partakers of the living God in this part of you. See? Amen. That we have great grace. See? Amen. We have the power of the Spirit of God working in us. And we have a God-given right given to us to take charge, take authority by the power of the Spirit over our minds. Right? Because this mind is our mind. It's not the devil's mind. We cannot let him keep the mind. We got to tell it what it's going to think and what it's not going to think. Let the Spirit take the dominance in your life. Your human spirit, where the Holy Spirit dwells as one, you and the Holy Spirit together as one, tell your mind to stop entertaining demons and to cast out those demons in the mind, out of your mind. Why? Because it's your mind and you are to possess your mind. It's your land. You got to kick the evil squatters out of there. Progress it. It's not going to happen all at once, but nevertheless, it is able to happen for you. They're poison for you. They're poison for your life. They're poison to your mind. And for you to continue to let them is your own doing, your own decision. Are you going to continue to let them do that to your mind? Okay, you can't blame God or anybody else because of what you're letting the enemy do to you, right? You can't blame God. You can't blame anybody else. That's why God said, you go possess the land. He's given you the authority. He's given you the word of God. You go and take it by force. The Bible says the violent take the kingdom by force. The violent take the land from the enemy by force, too. I mean, listen, he's giving you the land. So you got to go take it foot by foot. Acre by acre, right? State by state, whatever. He's just taking it by force with his God-given, your God-given authority by the power of the Spirit who has quickened you and made you a mighty man, mighty woman of God. And see, that's your identity, folks. You've got to get your identity down before you can be successful in being that overcomer that you're supposed to be. A lot of people struggling to be in time overcomers, but they don't get it. See, they haven't got this down about their proper identity. If you didn't get it after one listen, listen again. But you can listen to this thing, this program as many times as you want. You know, I tell you, my days as a Christian, I listened to CDs, cassettes, way back there, cassettes over and over and over. I'd get everything I could get out of it. Man, I'd feed on the life-giving word. I'd feed on the Spirit. And spiritual life, and just feed on it. I mean, you know, it's not a big deal for me to hear something five or six times. I get it. It's whatever it takes to get it, man. Whatever it takes for the revelation to get brought forth by the Spirit of God. See, because if you just peruse it just from the top and you don't try to go deep, then you're likely to miss a lot. But as you say, Lord, I want everything that you have to give me out of this, Lord. I'll just get it as many times as I can to get it, because by the grace of God, your spirit is going to make it real to me, and I'm going to get revelation. I'm going to get understanding. I'm going to get my liberty out of this. I'm going to get my what I need out of this. God, you're going to give it to me. I believe it. And you go after it that way. See, you're hungry and thirst. Those who hunger and thirst shall be filled, right? That's what he said. And if there's no hunger and there's no real interest, don't think that, you know, you're just going to get all the gems there. You're going to get all the great stuff there, because there's little hunger. There's little desire. And God doesn't force his way upon us. He doesn't force his way upon us. He says, if you want me, man, I'm here. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. You know, I'll come in and sup with you. I'll lay it all over you. You know, I'll lay spirit and life on you. But there's no end to it. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, come and drink. If you're hungry, come and eat. You know, I've got my table set, he said. My table set before you. You just got to come and be diligent enough by the Spirit of God, hungry enough, ignited enough to just come and drink and come and eat. Sit at the master's table, sit at his feet and partake and be a partaker of the realities of the Spirit. And boy, those realities of the Spirit will really help you in the other realm too, in the natural realm. Once you start partaking of that, once you start getting revelation of that, once you start, you know, walking in those things from your spirit, then they will bring about some things happening in your natural part of you too as well. The soul and the physical body, healing can come forth. Deliverance can come forth. And I'll tell you so many other things. We could go on and on and on, but I'm going to wind this message up here for the day, because there's just so much here and so much to talk about in this subject. Oh, man. Yeah. Thank you, God, for righteousness. That we are the righteousness of the Father. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you that you're good to us. Thank you for the reality of the kingdom. Thank you for the reality of your relationship that we have with you today. Thank you for the reality of spirit and life. Lord, Father, reignite those who need reignited. Ignite those who need igniting. But, Lord, we're going to blast off. We're going to take off into the realm of your spirit. We're going to take off and feed on you, Lord. We're not going to let the world dictate to us how we live our life in Christ as a believer, because we're not of the kingdoms of this world. We're of the kingdoms of eternity. We're of the kingdoms of God. We're of the glory of God. We're from a different place, a different realm, a different kingdom, a different reality than the realities of the carnal nature, the realities of this world. Yeah, we might have been comfortable in that realm, but Lord, now we're just uncomfortable there. We don't like it. It grieves the Spirit of God within us when we go into those realms of darkness and try to put ourselves back there where we once were, trying to go back and do it again, have that old life again. No, that's a wasted life. That's a waste of time. But Father, we don't want that. We want you. We choose you tonight. We choose you. Just say it with your mouth out loud. I choose you, Jesus. I choose the spiritual life over the carnal life. I choose you, Lord. I choose your life. I choose your grace. I reject performance-based Christianity. I choose the righteousness of God. I choose to live from the righteousness of God, because I am the righteousness of God. I'm getting my identity correct. Yes, I've located myself. I'm getting my identity correct. Thank you, Lord. I've got it correct now. Thank you, Jesus. I may not understand it all, but I'm learning, Lord. Thank you for teaching me. Thank you for teaching me, Lord. Amen. Just speak these things out of your mouth. There's so much power in the word you speak. I mean, you need to really bring your mouth under alignment with the word of God. And the word of God will do that, but you're going to have to be in it for that to take place. You're going to have to force feed yourself. Well, I don't understand. Well, just keep reading. You're going to force feed yourself. You're going to force feed by the Spirit of God in you. He's in your spirit. So, hey, if you make up your mind, you're going to feed that to you. It's going to get fed to you, and God's going to start wakening you up to spiritual life. But you just don't quit. Don't make excuses. Don't say, well, I can't understand it. I can't get it. I don't get it. Yeah, just stay in it. It's coming. It's coming forth. The blinders are falling off. In Jesus' name, we rebuke demonic blinders right now. They're falling off in Jesus' name. And the eyes of your understanding are being opened. Hallelujah. Just say, the eyes of my understanding are open. Yeah, just declare it. Just declare truth over your life. Speak it over your life daily. You can even make up a list of things that you're going to speak over your life daily. I used to do that all the time. Just had me a long list of things I declare over myself every day in my prayer time in the morning. Amen. That's a good thing to do. Well, you're getting started in this, and you need to learn it. You need to get it down. Start declaring the truth of God's kingdom, the realities of it over your life every day. And you start seeing your spiritual growth take place. Amen. I saw it happen to me. It'll happen to you too. Just to get some things out, start just looking through the Word of God and finding what He says about you. And start writing that down, and then you just declare it out loud with your mouth every day and see what happens in your life. Watch it. It may be such a gradual change that you're not so aware of it, but it happened because I can look back and see that it happened to me. Yeah, and I've seen it happen to others too who got serious. Yeah, and said things over their life that are the true spiritual realities about them. And instead of what the devil says, we want to say what Jesus says. See, we got to say the opposite of what the enemy's saying and say what Jesus is saying over ourselves, over our lives. And then we're going to see the reality that these things start to shape into place and shape up into a reality in our life. And it'll be, wow, yeah, it'll be good. It'll be God. It'll be His goodness, His glory. All right, well, hallelujah. We're going to come back in a few minutes here, and we will start doing some deliverance for a time period here. All right, be back in just a minute. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are ready now for a short session in deliverance. For the remainder of the broadcast, we will get into it and go after these spirits. Amen. Yes. I bind you spirits right now. Just serve you notice you're coming out of people in the name of Jesus. For those who want you out, you will come out. That's right. For those who want you out, you're going to go. But we come against these demonic hindrances, these hindering spirits that have hindered you from going deeper with God, hindrances from studying the Word of God, from just feasting on the things of the Spirit. They try to sidetrack you, divert you, and cause you to be dislodged from the direction of the Spirit and cause you to go in the direction of the flesh. We come against those spirits right now. You come out. Come out right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Those hindering spirits, you come out all the way out. Hindering spirits, you go right now. Those hindrances to biblical knowledge, hindrances to spiritual life and spiritual knowledge, you go. Through the hindrances to the rejuvenating life that flows from the tree of life, for the partaking of, for those who would. You come out of there, those hindering spirits, right now. Go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we cast you out. We come against you with the blood and the name above every name. You come out of there in the name of Jesus. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out. Blockages, come out, come out, come out. Spiritual blockages to spiritual life. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out, all the way up out of there. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. Come out, 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 come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. In Jesus' name, you've got to go. The blood is against you right now. Go, go, go. All the way out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Right now. You go. Go. Those spirits that are just in there hindering you from studying the Word, hindering you from feasting at the Lord's table. Blockages. You come out of there right now. Blockages, blockages to love, blockages to relationship, blockages to grace. If you're under law, legalism, and bewitchment, come out, 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 come out of it, all the way out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Spirits that would pervert the Word of God to make it something, say something, or make you think it's saying something that it's not saying, that perverts the Word of God. You come out. That spirit that perverts the Word of God. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. That perversion of the Word of God. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out. Pervert the Word of God. Come out. In Jesus' name, right now, move, 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 move. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. In the name of Jesus, that's right. Those spirits that are sent to twist the Word of God. That's what we studied in Paul in Galatians. Who has bewitched you? And how I marvel, Paul said, that you're so soon removed to another gospel. Another gospel. There's all these spirits of another gospel. You come out. Those spirits of another gospel, even though there's not another gospel, there's only one true gospel. but they're demonic substitutes, demonic falsities that are lies, that demonic deceptions out there that try to pass themselves off as the gospel. Legalism, works, earning your own way, all those things, this continual list of do's and don'ts, and you're not accepted if you don't do, and you don't do this, and you do this, and yeah, this is another gospel. It's not the true gospel. So we command those spirits of another gospel to go right now. Move in Jesus' name. All that bewitching, go in the name of Jesus. Go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Jesus' name, go all the way out. All the way out, people. Come out now in Jesus' name. Go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you come out. 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 All the way out. In the name of Jesus, you got to go. You got to move and keep moving out, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. The spirits that have caused things to just be hard all the time, the spirits of hardness making life so hard for you, something wrong all the time, something difficult all the time. We come against those spirits of demonic difficulty, those spirits of difficulty that are always trying to make things so difficult for you. You come out of there, those spirits of difficulty. Come out, demonic difficulties. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, demonic difficulties. Oh, it's so hard. Why does it have to be so hard? Why is it so difficult all the time? Yeah, yeah, some people just have extreme difficulties. Those are spirits involved. Everybody's going to suffer persecution. That's just a given. The difficulty, constant difficulties, it's just like you're always just hitting a wall spiritually and mentally and physically and financially and relationally. We come against that major difficulty spirit that's always having a difficulty. Come out, 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 come out now, all the way out. In the name of Jesus Christ, go. In the name of Jesus, come out, come out. Those spirits of difficulty, all the way out, all the way out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Yeah, well, the spirit's involved here. Come out, all the way out. We cast you out, you spirit of difficulty. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out, all the way. Come on out. Come on up out of there. Come out in the name of Jesus right now. We bind you. We break your hold. We break the curse of difficulties over your life. Command it to go. We break those ties with difficulties, those inherited ties with difficulties. Come out. Your parents had a difficult, your great-grandparents, grandparents had problems with difficulties continually. We break that curse over you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You go. Come out. 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 All the way out. Come out of it. In the name of Jesus. Go. All the way out. All the way out. Spirits of difficulty. Gotta go. Spirits of performance. Religious performance. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. Right now. Go. Yes, right now. Go. 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 Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come all the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I bind you. All that performance. Go. Religious performance, earning your way to God. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Spirit of compromise, spirit of deception. Come out, come out. Unforgiving spirit, go all the way out, all the way out. Inability to give and receive love. You come out too. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. We come against the restlessness. Some people are just feeling restless. Some people are feeling bored. We command boredom and restlessness. You come out all the way out bored. Doesn't even get moved by the Spirit of God. It's like nothing moves you anymore. That boredom, that restlessness, come out. 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 Come out of there. Yay. All the way. You got to go. In the name of Jesus, we're talking to you devils. Come out. Come out, 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 all the way out. All the way out in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Go, 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 go. Come on, come out. Come out, that out, all the way. Keep moving. The blood of Jesus is against you, demon. The blood of Jesus is against you. Yeah, you don't have to put up with that anymore. But you keep doing it. Don't do it. It's not necessary. It's not necessary to give in to those spirits and allow them to manipulate you so easily any longer. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Right now, that memory recall spirit that's bringing certain things to memory all the time that are tormenting to you, that are troubling to you. We command that memory recall to go. The memory recall causing anxiety. Come out. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Memory recall. We break the curse of memory recall. That spirit of memory recall, you got to go. Bringing up the memories of the past that torment you with them, to cause you to worry and to be troubled about them, or to be just tormented by what happened or what you knew or what you didn't know or what happened to you. All that memory recall, recalling these things. Come out of there. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out all the way out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. All the way out. Grieving over the past. Some people spend too much time grieving over the past. The past is the past. Paul said, forgetting those things that lie behind, pressing on for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, forgetting those things that lie behind. Amen. Don't be manipulated by the past. Demons of the past will come and manipulate you. We command those memory recall, past recall spirits of the past to come out right now that tries to keep reminding you of it and what happened and didn't happen or whatever. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. Grieving over the past. Go. In the name of Jesus, come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. Come out of it. Grieving over loss. Grieving over lost relationships, grieving over lost loved ones, grieving spirits come out in the past because things that have happened in the past, you're grieving over them. Come out. A spirit of grieving over the past. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. In the name of Jesus, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Move, 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 move in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go all the way out. Grieving over the past. In Jesus' name. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Keep going. Keep going. All the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. We break curses of Mormonism for people who have been involved in Mormonism, dabbled in Mormonism in any way, shape, or form. We break those curses over you right now. We break a Mormon spirit. If you live in a Mormon area, we break the control over you. Any kind of manipulation, mind manipulation of false religion or Catholicism, Mormonism, or any religion for that matter, manipulates you. We break the mind manipulation. We break the control of those religions over you, Jehovah Witnesses, Christian Scientists, on and on the list goes. Even Christian religions that have control, we break those religious control spirits over you. Come out, 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 come out in Jesus' name, all the way out, all the way up out of there. Keep coming, keep moving out of there. The blood of Jesus right now. The blood of Jesus, you have to go. You have to go all the way out. All the way out. All that false humility, you come out. False humility. You break the curse of false humility. Come out. Come out. Come out of there. Go in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Inferiority, come out. Come out of there all the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Fear of changing. The Lord wants you to change in some areas of your life and you haven't been obedient. You haven't allowed him to do the work in you because you have a fear of change because you don't like things to be different. You feel comfortable where, you know, even though it's uncomfortable, you feel more comfortable where you're at than where it could be and might be, you know, because you don't know what it'll be like to be where you haven't been before. So that fear of change, you come out of there right now. That fear of change, come out right now. Go, 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 go. Come out, 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 come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in that fear of change, not allowing God to take you where he wants you to be. Come out and not to do the work in you that he wants to do. Come out. A fear of change, go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go all the way out. That fear of change, we rebuke you, the Lord rebuke you, come out now, all the way out, that fear of change, move in Jesus' name, fear of change, God wants to change all of us, and he can do it some in some, and little in others, and a lot in some, so what is he doing in you, is he able to do anything, are you letting him, are you willing, oh yeah, I'm willing, but are you obedient to let him do it? Because you can block it. He's not going to force it. So let him do the change that he wants to do in life, because it's a good change. It's for the better. It's never for the worse. God, his work is for the best in your life. When he works on your life and you let him, he's going to do some good things in you. He's going to do God things. It's a blessing to you, not curse. Amen. He's not harsh. He's not mean. Don't let religion paint a picture of God. You're his child. The Father, good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Father, good pleasure to give good things to his children and bless you. And he's going to do that. If you let him, if you don't get caught up in a religious mentality and see God in the wrong way, even an Old Testament mentality would cause you to see him in the wrong way, see? Because you're looking at God through the Old Covenant, and the Satan will paint a picture that won't be too pretty of God. And he's hard, he's mean, he's going to get you. Kind of beat you over the head with a baseball bat, right? That's what a lot of religion, oh, God got my attention. He beat me over the head with a baseball bat. That's not how God works. The word is profitable for correction, for instruction. So he uses his word. He'll beat you with a baseball bat. That's ridiculous. He'll knock me upside the head and got my attention, God did. No. That's not how he does his correction. Okay? Now, he will bring conviction, though, and conviction is good, right? But it doesn't beat you up to convict you. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That entertainment spirit, come out. That pleasure-seeking spirit, come out. Right now, entertainment, pleasure-seeking, come out, come out. Recreation spirit, come out. We break that curse of recreation spirit, always seeking recreation, always seeking entertainment. Always ministering to self and flesh. Come out of there. We break that curse. Break that generational curse right now. In Jesus' name. Come out. 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 Come out of there all the way up. All the way up out of there. Go in the name of Jesus Christ right now. Right now. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out, that spirit of abandonment, feeling like you were abandoned at some point in your life, even as your childhood, come out. Spirit of abandonment, come out. Curse of abandonment, go. Come out, come out, come out. You've been abandoned more than once in life, come out. All that abandonment, go. We break the curse of abandonment over you. Come out, 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 come out. Come out of there, up and out, in Jesus' name, all the way out. All the way out, in Jesus' name. Go, 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 out, 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 out. Dark shadow over your life, you come out. The dark shadow, come out. Spirit of the dark shadow, come out. We break the dark shadow over your life. In Jesus' name, we break it off of you. Command it out, come out. Dark shadow, come out. In the name of Jesus right now, loosen and let them go. Come out, come out, come out. The dark shadow, come out. Seems like there's just been a dark shadow over your life for a long time. Come out. Well, you're not going to be there anymore. Come out. In the name of Jesus, cough it out. Let it go. All the way out. Take your cough. Get it moving. Come on. All the way out. Dark shadow. All that dark shadow over your life. Come out. 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 In Jesus' name, we break the curse of stupidity. You've been called stupid. Well, we break the curse of stupidity right now. Over you, come out. Curse of stupid. Come out. All the way out. Stupidity spirit. Come out. 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 Stupidity. The curse of stupidity. Come out. All the way out. all the way out. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. We break a curse of doing stupid things all the time. Just doing stupid things. And get yourself in the messes by doing stupid. Come out. All the way out. We command that spirit of stupid to go. All the way out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out. All the way out. All the way out. Move in Jesus' name. Keep moving. Move, move, move. Be weakened by the blood. Come out. Keep coming out. All the way out. All the way out. Hysteria, hysterical, you come out. Hysteria and hysterical. Come out. 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 All the way out. Go. In the name of Jesus right now. Go. Move. Hysteria. Hysterical spirit. Come out. Come out. Come on all the way out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Keep coming out. Come 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 out now. Up and out. The blood of Jesus right now. The blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Keep going. Oh, yeah. Father, we thank you for the time of deliverance tonight, the message, and the time we've had, the fellowship together here with around your word. And we just thank you for continuing to bless each one of us, Father, and seal this deliverance to us that we received, and continue to cause us to grow in great grace, Father, on our lives, wonderful grace. We appreciate you and love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, bless every listener as we go now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we finished the newsletter. We'll be getting it out by email. For those who get it by email, this hopefully tomorrow it'll be out. And so praise God. And those that get it by mail, we'll be mailing them out as well next week. And so thank you for listening tonight. God bless you. I appreciate each one of you being here. Lord be with you and bless your weekend. And we'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye now.
Under your wings, I'll be safe. In your arms, I'll be in your care. I know you'll be there.
Okay, well, we're done for tonight. And hey, but we're never done with Jesus. Stay filled up and get filled up and get more of him. All right, well, good night to you. Bye-bye now.